Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody. This is Corrine Judd, and I am Bushy. I am sitting in for Tree, and Diane is here. Diane, are you here?
I am. Good morning. How's everybody? How are you, Corrine?
I am fine. How are you doing, Diane?
I'm good. It's cool and rainy in Colorado. How about California? I know you're at the other side.
It's sunny and beautiful.
See?
Hey, we have a great show today. I think we're going to be talking about, well, I know we're going to be talking about when people are afraid to commit in a relationship, what happens. If you're the person that's afraid to commit, or if you're with the person that's afraid to commit. And then the other thing is, what happens when, you know, you're really kind of finished with the relationship and you're done with the commitment, and if you want to leave the relationship and you're afraid to leave the relationship, you know, are we forever in commitment phobias, or, you know, what can we do to get over these fear of commitments and, you know, really have joy in our life again? I mean, I know you have a lot of thoughts about those, Diane. What do you think about those things? Do you want to start in what happens when we're afraid to commit in a relationship? What's that all about?
Well, there's a million reasons for that. I mean, the fear of commitment, it encompasses so many things, you know. I mean, different people have different reasons for being afraid, but you know, there's that grass is always greener problem where you think, oh my God, if I choose this one, something better is going to come along. There's people who just are not decisive. They cannot make a decision, and they have kind of a fear of making a decision because they're afraid it's going to be the wrong decision. And it kind of comes back to that, you know, grass is greener thing, where if I choose this one, you know, it may be wrong for me and something better may be out there. But really kind of, you know, the fear of showing up, it's being expected to show up for somebody. Then that's a lot of people don't want that. They don't want to be responsible for taking care of somebody else's feelings. And you know, in an adult relationship, that is part of it. That's, you know, part and parcel of being in a relationship is saying, I will take care of your feelings. And a lot of people don't want to do that, you know. And so it's, you know, people, we make fun of people who say they were commitment phobic. And I mean, a lot of people really are not commitment phobic, but there really is a disorder that is a phobia. And I will talk about that a little bit, just because there are some people who are really affected by that particular disorder, and they can't commit to anything, not just a relationship. They cannot commit to buying a car. They can't buy a house. You know, they may have millions of dollars, but they don't want to commit to anything. They'll rent and they'll lease, and so it's, that is kind of an unnatural fear. But we're not talking about that. But I thought I would touch on that really fast. So if we are, you know, sarcastically saying somebody's a commitment phobe, we're not talking about somebody who really is afraid of making a commitment, like, you know, that's like the disorder is. We're talking about somebody who really just shies away from it for one reason or another. But there's all kinds of reasons for people who to fear relationships. And I guess we can pick one, you know. Which one do you choose? Would you think is the most common, Corrine?
Well, I think when people are, there's a couple of things. I think when people are insecure within themselves and they just don't want to show the other person who they are, or, you know, you picked a good one, is they think there's something better right around the corner. I think that's a real good one, is they don't want to commit because they think there's somebody else better. I think that's a real big one. But then there's another one that I would like your take on. When people make other things a priority, and I'm not saying this is a bad one, but first of all, when you're a single, you know, mother, let's say, or even a single father, you make kids your priority, so you really don't have time for a relationship. Or the other one is, you know, you make your career a priority, so you don't have make a relationship a priority. Career is probably a good one, because what is the reason why people don't make time for a relationship when they put their career as number one. You know, are they hiding something?
Right.
Or really, are they just, maybe they don't really want a relationship. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. That's what I mean. I mean, there's so many different reasons. There are so many, and that's a perfect one, especially when you're younger and you have your sights set on, you know, what you want to do with your life, the path you want to follow, the career you want. A lot of times, you know, that relationship is just secondary. That's not your most important focus. That, you know, your most important focus is chasing that career of your dreams or whatever. So, you know, there's such a wide range of reasons for people to not, you know, it's not even a fear of commitment then. It's just a not wanting it, you know. They're not afraid of it. They just don't want it.
The question becomes, you really have to, when you're looking at a person or you're trying to figure that person out, it becomes, you have to make a distinction whether it's really a commitment phobia or a commitment, they're afraid of commitment, or are they really putting something as a priority, and that's okay, correct?
Oh, correct, correct. Because I mean, a lot of people who say, you know, somebody has a fear of it, they really don't have a fear of it. They have a dislike for it. They have a distaste for it, you know, but they're not afraid of it. It's just maybe a situational thing or the time in their life where they don't want it, but maybe they will later on. Or it may be somebody who just never really wants to make that commitment to somebody because there are the grass is greener people, you know. And, I mean, we all know people like that. And they'll grudgingly make, you know, a small commitment to someone, but they've always got one foot out the door. You know, they've always got their eye on, well, something better might come along. And that really is an insecurity issue. It really is. It's not feeling secure in their own ability to make a decision, you know, and stick with it and say, this is going to make me happy. They're not secure with their own judgment, basically, which is sad.
Yeah. So how about the person that they're in a commitment, but they're afraid to leave the relationship. What about that aspect of our conversation?
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
what
that
about
is
like
total fear. That's total fear of being on your own. You know, they feel like people who are afraid to get out of a relationship they need to get out of. They're insecure with themselves and they don't feel like they can stand on their own 2 feet, you know. So they'll hang on to a relationship that's well past serving them, and just because they don't want to be alone or because it's routine. We all get in routines and we don't want to, you know, disrupt our routine, or we don't want to hurt the 15 other people who may be involved that will get hurt by it if there's children, you know. So once again, it's kind of like there could be a wide range of reasons for holding on to that relationship. But you have to look at it like by individual situation.
So what do you, you know, I was telling Therese the other day, I just heard this story, and I really want to go into this because and get your feelings on what can be done and how people can really overcome this fear, because sometimes people are in this a relationship and they really want to end the relationship for one reason or another. Maybe it's just a bad relationship. And like you say, they're stuck because it's a routine or they have insecurities or they're fearful. But a friend of mine just told me it was actually her daughter-in-law left a relationship or her marriage, but it took her like 2 years to leave. Now that's, you know, it depends on what aspect.
Yeah.
It would be a short time or a long time. But she really, financially, they were well off. The woman didn't have to work, but she actually got her... she went to school, got her degree, her nursing degree, and she left her marriage. And her son had Asperger's, actually. And so she's a single mom now, taking care of her son. She got her nursing degree. But she actually planned to leave her marriage. Was she afraid to leave that marriage? Of course she was afraid. She didn't have a skill. She didn't have,
right.
You know, she never worked. You know, and I know plenty of women who they're afraid because they could not financially support themselves if they left the marriage. But the whole thing, you know, the whole point of the story is you know, you just have to get, and you know, you're dependent on the person who you fell in love with, married, and you have this family with. But the point of my story is, you know, you have, you know, what makes some people get to the point where they pull up their bootstraps, they go to school, they get the skills, and then they leave the relationship to get a better life. And then some people, they just can't, you know, they just, you know, they can't do it.
Can't do it. And that's, it's lacking self-confidence, you know. I mean, it's so hard to make that decision that you're going to change your life and uproot yourself. And we know that, you know, and I mean, all of them, you know, anyone who's an adult knows how difficult it is to leave a relationship, even if you're not happy. It's become routine, and you're going to hurt this other person's feelings, and your whole life is going to go through this major upheaval. And it's laziness a lot of the times. It's just laziness. It's like we get stuck in our little routine, and even if we're not happy, we're just too lazy to make a change because that requires effort, you know, and it requires emotion. You're going to have these emotional discussions, and you're going to actually have to, you know, rent a moving van and move your stuff. I mean, it requires action, and I think some people are just too lazy to do that. I also think there's people, and I don't think in that situation you were talking about, but I do know people that I know, they love being the victim. They love having something to complain about. They love having someone to complain about. And so they will stay in a horrible relationship or a relationship that, I don't mean it's like an abusive relationship, but they'll stay with a person who they are just not suited to be together. I think for the whole purpose of having something to complain about. And that's sad but true. I see that. You know, you see that with people. It's like that's their main topic of conversation is complaining about what their spouse did. You know, it's like they come to work every day going, well, he did this last night and he did that. I mean, it's almost like that's the whole, you know, spoke of their life that everything kind of revolves around is complaining about their spouse. They will never leave that spouse because it's kind of like their identity. Their identity is being the browbeaten spouse or just, you know, whatever they want to call themselves. But, you know, there's other people who are probably content in their misery. Do you know what I mean? It's like they'll never leave that relationship because they like to complain. But I think for the most part, it's like you were talking about, somebody who's holding on to that relationship way past where they're happy, but yet they're just not wanting to make the break. And it's just, it's hard. It's very hard. You really have to get it in your head that, you know, I'm going to bite the bullet and I know I'm going to be, it's going to hurt, you know, everybody right at first, but I'm going to keep moving ahead and I'm going to make this break. And at some point I'm going to feel like a happier person. And especially with divorce, and especially if there's kids with the divorce, none of us ever want to do that. You know, that was one of the hardest things I ever did in my life was to make the decision to split up the family, you know. And so I know how people can keep hanging in there and have, you know, linger on because you're like not wanting to hurt your children. There's worse reasons for staying together than to keep your children happy. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that, but I think that sometimes it just works. It works better for everyone if mom and dad can stay together. But at some point, you know, the kids are going to get raised and you're going to go, okay, I'd like to have some personal happiness now. And it's difficult to leave, you know, after you've got this routine that you've been together for 20 years. So I, you know, I can't judge people for staying in relationships. It's really hard when you're, like, on the outside looking in and you see somebody who you love who is really unhappy because they're in a relationship and they won't leave that relationship. And that may be like what you're kind of talking about there with a friend where you're just looking and you feel like, okay, come on, do it, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer that nobody knows a relationship like the two people in the relationship. Only those two people know exactly what that relationship is. So I am very non-judgmental when it comes to relationships because it's people's business. I think as a friend, it's good to provide support to that person. And I was also just had a thought and wondering that, you know, when people are in a relationship that they're afraid to leave, if you took two studies, let's say, of two different people, let's say you have two different couples and both people are in bad relationships, if you took one person and gave them support, emotional support, and taught them, you know, let's say both of them want to get out, and you took one and gave them emotional support, friendship, taught them, like, meditations, you know, the things we talk about on the show, on all of the shows, you know, meditations, affirmations, spiritual support, new messages to train their brain, and really gave them consciously, had them consciously work at, you know, different methods to help them overcome what they have been programmed to do, their routine, you know, do it with the other one, which one would really either change their relationship, in other words, get out of it, or maybe they would just become a new person and their relationship would become better. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. I agree. Yeah, totally. I mean, you don't always have to abandon a relationship. You know, you have to change yourself, sometimes change your own mindset, and it may not be the relationship, it may be you, and you can come out, you know, start working on yourself, and the relationship improves. You don't need to leave the relationship. And that's something you know, spot on. I mean, people blame other people for their own misery all the time, and, you know, you'll blame a relationship, oh, this is making me so unhappy. No, it's not. You're making me so unhappy, you know, but you've got something to blame, you know? You know, it's true. And so I agree. I mean, I think that, or I don't know if that's what you were really saying, but don't you think that's true?
No, absolutely. It is true. You are the master of your own mind, body, and spirit, right?
That's right.
You
and it is
everything.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Right, right. So, you know, it may not be, I mean, you have to look at the person in front of you. Is this someone who you are really compatible with, but there's some kind of a conflict between you that maybe it's you, maybe it's your stuff and not that person. And when you resolve your own stuff, you're going to say, wow, I'm so happy with this person. I don't want to leave that person. I was blaming the relationship on, you know, for making me unhappy when it was really my own stuff that made me unhappy. And that's hard for people to do, I know. It's hard for people to always to stand outside of themselves and look at themselves and look at the situation and really see what is going on there, because we love to finger point. We love to blame the other guy. And people never want to take ownership for their feelings. You know, they always want to say, you made me feel this way. And it's
not. It feels better that way.
Right, it feels better because you can blame somebody. But I always, you know, Cherie always will tell me, where is this feeling coming from? And I always think of that, you know, when I get a bad feeling, I'll say, okay, where have I had this feeling before? You know, when was the first time I ever felt like this? And a lot of times it's stuff that's so old, you know, it's stuff that was from childhood or from my first marriage. And so, you know, if you can take a moment and say, where is this feeling coming from? You'll realize it doesn't have anything to do with the person that's right in front of you that you're in a relationship with. It's old stuff, but you're taking it out on that person. And so that's something that I always try to remember, you know. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you have this knee-jerk reaction or your emotions just, you know, immediately react a certain way. And then, you know, you, if you can take, you know, step outside of your own body for a moment and look at yourself, you'll say, oh, my gosh, I'm not reacting to this person. I'm, you know, they don't deserve this, or this, it's like an overreaction to a situation. And I've done that myself, you know, where I realized I'm overreacting to something that should not upset me. And then when I think about it, I'll realize that's because I'm really reacting to something that happened 20 years ago. But this reminded me of that same situation. And so I'm overreacting to that now. And the poor, you know, man who's standing in front of me is going, what the hell is wrong with you?
I think that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. It's something we really have to remember, because, you know, again, as we always are learning, you know, someone is always teaching. We're the teachers. Sometimes we're the teachers. Sometimes we're the students. And our interaction with everyone, not only in our relationships, but everybody we come in contact with, is always a learning moment. And, like,
right,
it's so astute of you to say that, because it's like, God, how cool is that to recognize that it's from something 20 years ago? And what a wonderful experience to know that you're learning from that and evolving from that. That's such a wonderful point, Diane. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
But it makes you feel silly, though, I have to say at times, because this has happened to me just recently, you know, when I've realized, you know, I was overreacting. I don't know if I was, you know, overtly reacting. It's just that inside me, I realized I was feeling upset over something that should not upset me. And, you know, when you start going back, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's stuff is way back in the cobweb, you know, that you're like, oh my gosh, like, when's the first time I ever felt like this? And you kind of have to travel back in your own life and go, okay, yeah, I was like 12 years old. You know, I mean, it's crazy. But you'll start seeing, okay, this happened when I was younger, and then it repeated itself again when I was in my 20s, and then it repeated itself again with somebody else when I was in my 30s. Sometimes you've had that same situation, you know, it will be a little bit different players, but it's the same feeling that you're getting from a situation. You'll have that repeatedly until you finally learn whatever lesson you're supposed to be learning from that situation. And I always think that, you know, kind of God gives you that opportunity to go back as an adult and kind of apply your adult's wisdom to that old childhood wound that you had that you just kind of pushed aside and said it's going to have to, you know, heal itself up, when it really never healed, but you forgot about it. And then all of a sudden something will happen to you in an adult relationship that brings back those old, you know, feelings of inadequacy or whatever, jealousy, whatever kind of feelings it was that you felt when you were little. And so it's like this rush of, you know, heavy emotion, and you sit there in your adult body going, why am I feeling like this? You know, I am overreacting to whatever situation. And a lot of times it's because it's from something old like that. It was from childhood or from your first love or whatever. And it's just a situation that reminds you of that, something that hurt you really bad. And then it's like you're reenacting it. Only now as an adult, you can look at it with adult's wisdom and say, you know, I shouldn't have been that hurt, or I shouldn't have gotten so upset because it wasn't that this person didn't care about me or whatever, you know, and you can kind of go back and heal your own wounds. But you have to have that awareness to say, okay, you know, where is this coming from? When did I feel like this before? And I mean, everybody can do that, but I think we like to shut that out. We need somebody like Therese saying, okay, where is this coming from? When's the first time you felt
I agree.
Emotion?
We do mm-hmm. need guidance, you know, because we all, you know, even if you know it, you need that person to remind you that this is what we have to do. This is what we have
mm-hmm.
to. We always, because there's so much stuff coming at us on a daily basis that you need time to sit with yourself and just be reminded, you know? Good point.
You're right. And really, I mean, you meditate quite a bit, don't you? I know, aren't you, you do better in the bathtub, huh? The water?
I meditate in the bathtub, really.
I do the same thing, though. I think the water helps, I swear.
It does. It totally does. So, look, that's a good point. And I kind of wanted to recap, because even though we talked about people being afraid to commit in a relationship and people being afraid to leave a relationship, I think there's some similarities on what they can do to really find joy in a relationship, don't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean,
so to kind of recap, what are some of the things you feel that people can do to overcome those commitment problems?
The fear, it's feeling confident in yourself. I mean, that's the biggest thing to overcome is your own fear that you're going to be making a bad decision, you know. That's And that takes a lot of work on yourself. I mean, it's so much easier said than done. it's taken me years, honestly, it's taken me years to really sort through a lot of my old stuff that was making me feel, you know, lacking confidence or insecure with myself. So, you know, to get joy out of the relationship, you have to have joy within yourself first. And so that's the place you need to start, is within yourself. And then you will start seeing, okay, I drew this person into my life because they mirror these qualities. And do they mirror good qualities, or do they mirror problems that I need to work on in myself? And if you see that your partner really mirrors your good qualities, then that relationship has something great to offer you. If you see your partner really was just put in your life to make you work on your bad qualities, then you may decide that's not the right partner for me. But you know, there may be that point where you finally say, okay, I need to leave this relationship, but there's something better for me out there. And so, you know, once you really kind of work on your own stuff, you'll believe in yourself, and you'll believe there's something better for you out there. So that's I mean, it really all starts with you, you know, whether you're going to be happy with yourself or not.
I agree. So basically, it is taking time out. You know, we all have busy lives. We all are doing, you know, we're multitasking, and we have all this, you know, high-tech stuff, and it's really taking time out for yourself to, you know, work through those feelings. If you have to take a class, if you have to get an emotional support. Also, I'm such the business, I don't want to say guru, but it's like I'm so business oriented. My life, my joy comes from doing business, I have to tell you, no matter what it is. But
and you're good at it. Yeah, you're great at it.
That's the love of my life is business. That's what I call fun, right? Most people don't want to do business.
That's what you call fun.
I call it fun. But I would make a list of reasons, you know, and see what resonates with myself. And I would tackle it kind of like a business plan. That's how I would do it.
That's
maybe
good.
Other people kind of relate to it. But, you know, mm-hmm. if I was to work on, you know, I shouldn't say if I was. I have worked on myself. But not only tackle it from a business plan, but I would kind of like make an outline, make a list of things, see what resonated, and then work on the emotional side too, because I'm not all, you know, brick and mortar. I am very emotional, very empathetic and things like that. So totally agree with you. It's totally emotional. And do you want to add anything? I mean, not emotional. It's totally taking time out to work on yourself. And we really, really have to do that in order to overcome these commitments. I don't want to use the word phobia even. I don't even think that's a good
Why?
Word to use.
Yeah. Commitment issues. Or issues
commitment
surrounding
issues.
Commitment. How about that?
Commitment challenges. How about challenges?
Challenges is good, always. Opportunities is a word we always use at work. We always said, no, it's not something that you face, it's an opportunity.
Anyway, do you have anything to add to this?
The biggest thing I would say to people is stop playing the blame game. You know, when you get so tied up in thinking about this other person, and people start like obsessing over this other person, and mentally they're saying he or she shouldn't have done this, and they wronged me. You know, you need to start looking at you and saying, why am I attracted to this? Why am I attracted to somebody who keeps treating me as less than? Why am I attracted to someone who keeps treating my feelings like they're not important? And start looking, pointing your finger at yourself, you know, instead of the other guy, and saying, okay, for some reason, I'm attracting people who treat me like I'm crap, you know, or whatever. Why do I think that's all I deserve? And you need to, instead of spending all your thought energy on getting mad at this person and blaming this person, you need to look at yourself and say, why am I allowing myself to be treated like this? Do I really think I don't deserve any better? Because if you're in a relationship that, you know, your partner is just not treating you well, I mean, you may be unhappy for other reasons, but if it's one of those where you're like the victim, you know, your partner's the one who's just, you know, really mistreating your feelings, you're the one who's allowing yourself to be treated like that. And so you have to look at yourself first. And, I mean, most people, I think most relationship problems, there definitely is a two-way street. There's not like one victim and one, you know, perpetrator. They're both victims or they're both perpetrators. It's just a matter of they maybe don't get along that well, you need to say, why am I staying with somebody who I really don't, you know, have that much in common with? Or is it because they're aggravating some issues I have and causing me to work on some stuff, you know, and maybe I'm doing the same thing to them? So it really is, the first thing you have to do is look within yourself and look at the issues that are getting, you know, kind of rubbed raw, you know, what is it inside of you that this person surfaces? And take a look at that, and you'll always see it goes back to way before you met this person. It always goes back to something way earlier than that. And I think it kind of takes some of your steam off then. You know, you're not so upset with the person right in front of you sometimes when you realize, okay, I've had this issue myself since I was a little kid. You know, I can't blame them.
Diane, those are such wonderful points, and I think those are great thoughts to close on. I really, really appreciate those things. Those are wonderful, wonderful thoughts. So that being said, I want to let everybody know a couple of things. First of all, you and Tari have a wonderful book. It's You Mean There's a Law He Has to Be Attracted to You, and tell everybody where they can get that book.
They can get it on Amazon. It's on Kindle, too, so it's downloadable. But if they just go on to Amazon and look up either one of our names, my name I think is listed first, or just plug in the title, You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me. A Psychic and a Humorist Explain Metaphysics is the subtitle. But they can pull it up on Amazon and get it there, and it's on, you know, Kindle Fire and all that kind of stuff too. So if they prefer the, you know, digital copy. I can't even think now. What is that copy? I still like the paper book in my hand. You know, I still like to have that book in my hand where it doesn't require batteries. It doesn't need to be plugged in. You know, I'm one of those people who I'll never get tired of the paper book, but I understand why people love the e-book.
I actually like both. I like to have the paper, and I actually like to have the e-book for when I'm traveling. So I actually do both.
Yeah.
And
I understand that.
Yeah, I've got a book too, Functional Spiritual Connections. It's How to Connect with Your Angels. It's got a lot of angel stories in it. I've actually also interviewed Tari, and Tari gives some wonderful tips on how to connect with angels. It's kind of interesting. And then during the writing of the book, my long-term girlfriend, God bless her, she was 80 years old, she had passed away while I was writing this book. And we were asking for angel stories, and here she had written down a whole bunch of angel encounter stories, and her daughters let me put them in the book. So it's kind of a cool little book. And
you're a great writer. Yeah,
thank you,
Diane. I didn't know someone
Diane
there, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Diane edited the book for me. And for you writers out there, we have lots of good stuff for you, and we're encouraging you to write, and we can help you with that. Angel Coaches has we are going to be unveiling the website. We've got a lot of angel coaches. We've got a lot of resources to help you write and do wonderful things. And so that's going to be unveiling soon. On Tuesday, Therese is going to be interviewing Joy Skinner, and she's going to be talking about magnified healing, which sounds like a wonderful subject. I'm kind of excited to hear about that, and she's also going to talk about how she talks about angels, so that's going to be real cool. And I just want to remind everybody to like us on Facebook, and that's Facebook/Angel Coaches. Also interact with us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/Angel Coaches. And I guess that does it for this show. It's a wrap.
Thank you, Corrine. Thank you so much for hosting this, and everybody have a great week, hopefully.
Thanks, Diane. I had a great time with you. Okay, talk to you,
everybody.
Me too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.